Hey, this is Homer. You are listening to Vital Signs, where I check on my mental health vital signs every week and then talk about things that I want to talk about. Thank you for listening, first of all. And today it's a little bit different. I'm not at home, I'm not at my own apartment. I'm currently living at a friend's place. They are out traveling and I'm here cat sitting, helping them look after their two kittens. And it makes me very happy because they don't have other humans. They're forced to be friends with me. That makes me very happy. And this week has been good. In general, I'll start next period of my Swedish course from next Monday, so in 1-2 days. And this time I switched class to a morning. The schedule is from like 8 a.m. to 11:30, so I'll have much more regular cycle of a day, because before I had this 11:45 to 3 p.m. timetable, and it really doesn't work. It's really confusing. Sometimes I feel like I need to eat lunch before I leave home. Then I'll have a super early lunch at like 10:30, and then come back home still very hungry, but then it will be super early dinner. And it just messes up the whole thing. I was on that schedule for 10 weeks, but I never really figured out how exactly this thing should work. Never had a real routine out of it. But now I have this 8 to 11:30, which is just average people thing. And hopefully everything will fall into places. And yeah, I am quite optimistic about that part of my March and April and part of May. So 10 more weeks on next stage of the course. So this week I have been quite active, and food wise, it's also been nice. I've been feeding myself quite well, and I revisited, what do we call it? Revisit? No, something that has to be a word for it. I went to check in with my psychiatrist again this week, and it really weighed at me. And the good news is that one more month on Vivense, I didn't lose any weight. It was almost exactly the same as last time, so that's nice. I am managing to have this thing stable, so that's nice. And so we decided that we continue on this dosage and try 3 more months and see if it settles, if maybe I'll need to adjust the dosage again. But for now, 40 milligrams of Vivense, it's working quite good. Good enough for me. It can be better, especially I still have my menstrual cycle, and I still have my performance throughout the 4-week cycle. It's still not so even, but I mean,
We are humans, we're not machines. We can't expect to act exactly like a machine. And yeah, that's also a thing I need to work on.
So that. And the last one, sleep. I'm sleeping. Again, similar, but now I'm at my friend's place, even though I have slept in this guest room bed for a while before. But now that I have left for more than half a year and then switched back to this bed, I found out it's not as good as I remembered. And yeah, it's so hard. But now my current bed, it's amazingly soft, and nothing can compete with that. So yeah, I'm still trying to like find my comfort in this bed, but like my own sleep, it's getting better. It's slowly getting better. It was not too bad to begin with anyway. So that side is also good. But yeah, speaking of which, this week I want to talk about therapy. Because first of all, I think it's necessary to have a disclaimer here that I want to say that I support and even encourage every single person who has access to get professional mental health support, medicine and therapy and whatever you find necessary or whatever available to you, whatever helps. I totally support that. I'm not against anybody on seeking mental health help. And I strongly encourage like literally everybody to do that, because there's no reason. It's just a good thing to do. It's good thing. I'm not even saying that everybody who needs it or who feels like they need help to seek help. I'm literally saying like every single person should just, in case, you know, get yourself a therapist in case. Because I know if you are listening to my podcast, you can use some help. I'm sorry. You're my friend. But I'm doing this to you. I'm breaking this news to you. But you can use some help. So that's that. And also another disclaimer is that I'm talking about my mental health problems and me seeing doctors all the time. And yes, I have a psychiatrist. And I see very often, and he's working with me on my ADHD medicine, and also he prescribes me my antidepressants. I'm on sertraline also. That's that. But I'm not currently seeing any therapist. I'm not the biggest fan of CBT, the cognitive behavior therapy. I'm not the biggest fan. And, but I think yesterday or Friday, I actually sent this letter, this email to a therapist in Malmö, who doesn't, I don't think she does CBT. She does a different kind of therapy. Anyway, I was I'm not officially in contact with her, but I hope I can get into her waiting line and maybe get to talk to her before 2024, something like that. So yeah, I am personally receiving a lot of professional help and seeking even more. So that's another disclaimer. That being said, I have some beef with this whole grand idea of getting all this shit in your brain together thing. So I think living with ADHD for 30 something years without knowing that there is this fundamental difference in your brain, the way your brain works in comparison to general public, is that I have been consciously, unconsciously bending myself, or in official terms, we have official term called masking, mostly used in autistic community, but also ADHD community also uses this, is that you hide the fact that you are different from other people. You put on a mask. You change your natural behavior. You don't do things that you actually want, but you behave, you do things, and you speak in this manner that you think the rest of the world see as normal, so you can fit in. But the term masking, it doesn't describe how much it hurts. It's like, yeah, put on a mask. How huge a deal that would be. No, it's not putting on a mask. It's not literally, but it's bending yourself into a shape that you are not. And that's painful. And having experienced that, it was quite smaller scale, but still crisis when I started to have this idea of me having ADHD sink in. Even though before that I believed that I was autistic, and so that in the sense of like being fundamentally different, that's quite similar. So the idea of when I got my diagnosis, it was not that shocking. But when I realized that I might be fundamentally different, I might be autistic, that was really shocking. That on the one hand, it's that your memories, your traumas, your life suddenly started to make sense, and you suddenly realize that you're not an alien and you're not one special single person, just somewhat broken, but that you have people similar to you, it's just not so many, but you'd still end up running into them. So you're not alone in this, and people experience similar things. That's comforting, that's nice, but on the other hand, you know for sure that this world, this society, how every single thing works, it's not designed for you. Every single thing. All these social norms, the way the education system, because I am in school, so that affects me the most. Education system and things that expect people to behave in a certain way, you are not included in the consideration. You are forever outliner of quote-unquote normalcy. That idea, it's not like super shocking breaking news to me, because I am not a stranger to being an outliner. I did have ADHD even when I was a child. That's how ADHD works. But also I was socialized as a woman, and we are minority or marginalized in this society. A lot of things are not designed for women. Also I grew up in China as a non-Han person, so from a ethnic group that is not the mainstream, not the majority. So I have a lot of identities that can be seen as outliner in a lot of settings, and I am very used to feeling, yeah, this is not for me. This environment, it's not for me. This system, this whole system, doesn't work for me. It's not new. But yeah, having ADHD added another layer on top of that, my pile of problems. Just I had another on that pile. All that being said, I think and then I started to get treatment, to have my act together, to have some of my ADHD symptoms treated. During this whole time, surprisingly enough, I found out I am actually even more like a stereotypical ADHD person, even though on other front, for example, concentration, I can read now. I can read for hours. That was not possible before my medication, and now I can do my homeworks, even though a lot of times they're very repetitive and boring, but I'm still able to do that. And those are improvements, and also my emotional, the whole thing around my emotions.
That's a completely different topic for another week, I guess. All those problems, they're improved a lot, dramatically, magically. But on the other hand, I'm acting. I think you can also tell by the way I speak. I talk like I'm jumping around. It feels like that. And also I'm speaking in this, it's my third language and it's my second most comfortable language. So it's not so good. And I find myself jumping around a lot. And, you can't see me right now, but I am doing all this. My hands are flying all over the place, doing all these gestures for absolutely nobody to see. I am not recording any video, but I need my hands to fly all over the place in order to express things. All these behaviors, they were not so visible before my treatment, before my diagnosis. I don't remember being so visibly ADHD before I started my treatment. And that's really... And also during, especially after I started my medicine, I need to go back to my psychiatrist and talk about my behaviors. So I have to monitor myself to pay extra attention to myself to see how exactly I am functioning around people and when I'm alone and when I'm doing other tasks, when I'm being social, things like that. And so that made me think, how exactly different I am from pre-treatment, and also it's a little bit mind-blowing that I think I am visibly more different and I'm visibly more of a outliner than before I had my treatment. One explanation could be that because I have the core functional problems under control, my concentration and my emotional regulation, all these core problems, they are under control now, so I'm much less anxious. I am much less depressed, and I even have a solid sense of confidence now. Can you believe it? And that made my mask got thinner, or that made my bending. It's not airbending, but my it feels like it liberated me a little bit, that I find that I don't need to squeeze myself into this shape in order to blend in, because I'm not as anxious and as depressed like before. I don't know if that makes sense. I hope I explained it, because I lost myself a little bit in between. Yeah, it's, I said we mask and we bend, we change ourselves in order to look more like other people. And what exactly is bending us? What force is bending me into that shape? It's my anxiety.
the only way an untreated ADHD person could finish a task is that they have extremely heavy anxiety in their face and they're forced into doing a thing. And they can finish that task but also you'll have to end up like digesting all that trauma from having so huge an anxiety just to do a tiny piece of homework or to do a laundry or some absolutely boring thing. So I'm so sorry, it's 26 minutes and I'm not even into my topic. Is that another idea that people, especially on Chinese internet, we talk about a lot. We would say, I have political depression. And it's not the depression per se, but it's because you live in this society that takes away your motivation, takes away your sense of joy, and makes you feel extremely depressed, even though you kinda know that it's not mainly from something in your brain that went wrong, but because of your environment, because of politics around you. That happens to a lot of friends in China, reasonably, of course. And how do we link this whole thing together? Is that I think more and more people are forced into positions like mine. Before my treatment, is that more and more people, even though you might not have clinical depression, you might not have ADHD or autism or these kind of differences, but you still feel like there is something fundamentally wrong. And you are gaslighted into believing this something fundamentally wrong is from you. And you need to adjust yourself, change yourself, feed yourself medicine, and get some therapy. Go out, get a dog, and exercise, yoga, meditation, eat healthier, do all those things, get an Instagram, in order to feel whatever the society expects you to feel, to do whatever it expects you to do and act in this certain way and to blend in, to be part of the norm. But maybe it's not something fundamentally wrong in us. I mean, there has to be a line somewhere, a very blurry line, but there has to be some line there. Is that okay, so it's me being an outliner and I dropped out from the norm, and I can, as an individual, get myself back to that? Or can we also consider the possibility of that line itself being wrong. You didn't drop out. It's the line got to a wrong, very wrong place. And you could be perfectly fine. You could be a perfectly healthy, quote-unquote, person, but you still feel extremely miserable because you are out of that line. And you have this tendency to be in that line, but that line moved away just way too far. I wrote something in my notebook. So, yeah, because at the end of the day, all this treatment, it serves a purpose, is that treating you into a certain shape. But for me, I feel like I am very far away from that shape. And maybe I don't want to be like that. Maybe I don't want to be that person that someone of my background is supposed to be. And not only because I have ADHD and I have all these qualities, maybe it's more about this idea of what a acceptable, healthy, mainstream, quote-unquote, normal person look like. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe that has some problem. Maybe that shape we are required to end up fitting ourselves in, that cube that we need to, everybody needs to be in, that cube, it could be wrong. But because we grow up, because I don't know, maybe most people, they never felt restricted or like too restricted by other norms. And once they feel this sense of not fitting in, they might blame themselves first, because you have been fine your whole life, and now why you're not fine suddenly? Definitely must be you and not rest of the society. Why? But maybe you're like me. Maybe you see this shape that expected from you is not what you want to be. And at one point, I believe it stops being about mental health. It stops being your personal problem. At one point, it becomes political. And there's no way to therapy your reality away. There's only so much that one can bend to cope as an individual. At one point, one has to be very, very sick in order to appear normal in a sick society. And think about it, we won't blame a person for feeling sick or ill or in poor health if they live in a highly polluted environment, if they don't have access to healthy food, and if their water is poisoned. And of course, they end up being sick. And you won't suggest that you go out and walk or you get a dog. Because that's not their problem. Their problem is that their water is poisoned. Their environment is wrong. That, unfortunately, is a lot of people's reality. And there's no way you can therapy and talk, get a dog, your reality away. And there's absolutely no willpower strong enough to clean your poisonous water. And there's no painkiller for the pain from knowing people you care for and love disappearing in concentration camps or under the threat of this war that looked like it's from 100 years ago. And there's no cure for these wounds left from witnessing injustice or experiencing injustice. Again, I fully support the idea of getting professional help to treat your anxiety, your depression, and to find happiness even. But it's not a magical pill. It's not the magical solution that sometimes seem to be. That's a painful realization, even though it's not a breaking news to me, but it's a painful realization is that when you get better from all these treatable problems, all these things that medicine actually can help, it will be even more painfully clear that part of the problem, that it's not even the majority of your problems, of your issues, and that they're not the main reason that you're in pain. I mean, I'm talking to myself at this point. And we can't expect us as individuals, as people, we can't expect mental health care professionals to solve all this for us for an individual level. And as a fucking society, please. If everybody's falling depressed, if everybody's experiencing anxiety and in this pain, we at one point, I mean, how many antidepressants does a society need? If every single person is taking antidepressants, maybe we stop and think, maybe there's something wrong that can't be cured by antidepressants? Okay, I have this bad habit that I feel like I really need to end everything in a higher note than it started. And my high note is that we know where does all this come from, right? We know the core of the problem is. It's not mental health, it's politics. And first of all, I still encourage you to get all that treatable things treated. And after that, I encourage you to find your own people, find your community, care for people around you, help them to do something about it. That's the only solution, not solution, but coping mechanism that I can think of, is that you act on things because we believe that there's something wrong around us, and I don't accept knowing and then just sitting on that. I don't accept having this political ideology and then wearing it as just a decoration. And it's not only that it's good for the society, but it's good for your mental health. It's good for your mental health because that's the ultimate coping mechanism of political depression, is that you do something about it. And I'm not saying you go out and be a revolutionary or something. No, it's you find your value and you do whatever you can. You do whatever you feel comfortable doing, but you do something. Don't sit on it. Yeah, I hope that's a high enough note, and hope you have a good week in front of you, and I'll talk to you next time.